Is your business the baby that never grows up? It keeps you up at night, interrupts date night, and forget taking a vacation because you can't ever find the right sitter. Good news! Our signature Clockwork Method program turns your business into the independent, thriving operation it was meant to be. We help you build the processes that empower the people to scale with profitability without you micromanaging every detail. The Clockwork Method isn't just another coaching program that leaves you with a heap of to-dos, just adding more to your plate. In this program, we build the systems with you, handling the big tech heavy lifting that just slows you down. Ultimately, the Clockwork Method is here to help you transform your business from that needy, dependent operation into a mature business that runs itself. Discover more today at theclockworkmethod.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your business system strategist, Lindsay Sutherland, and together we are making business systems simple for you and for your business so you can scale with peace of mind. Yesterday, we talked about the psychology behind why your processes should not be more than 7 steps. And I gotta tell you, the entire time I was recording, I was remembering when I used to manage the Service Business Development Center at the largest dealership in Arizona. We often booked 120 appointments each day. We had 10 service advisors on average and multiple technicians that were each specialized in various parts of the car, like AC, transmission, suspension, lube tech, maintenance, etc. So, when it came to making an appointment, it was a very complicated situation. The BDC rep, that was my team, they had to know how backed up each department was. They had to check the history on the vehicle to see who the primary service advisor was. They had to look up recalls, and sometimes they needed to know when to check if parts were available before booking. All of this before they could simply pick a time and a date. I mean, you would think it would be a simple process, but it really wasn't. And the reason we felt compelled, I guess you could say, to make it this complicated and to check all these things because our customer satisfaction scores were paramount. As many of you know, if you've ever serviced at a dealership or you've bought a car at a dealership, they get these surveys. And those surveys are so important to, like, it's like their lifeblood at the dealership. And we just could not risk having unhappy customers. So all this pressure came down on my department to check all of these things before even booking. Like, for example, if you have ever taken your car into a service repair shop, and then just to find out they didn't have the stock or the parts in stock, it just doesn't go well. And therefore, we just tried to do everything we could possibly do to ensure that that experience was going to be as expected. I wouldn't say necessarily it was going to be amazing, but it was going to go as expected. And we worked really hard to manage those expectations. Okay, so after I published the episode yesterday, I was thinking to myself and I challenged myself, like, could I have applied the advice that I gave you yesterday to the situation in that role? Now, obviously, I know more than I did then, and my approach is going to be very different. But at the time, my job was to please everyone, the customer, the advisor, the technicians, and the management team. Therefore, all the pressure of making sure everything was perfect fell on me as the leader of this team. And that's why, even though I was the manager of the department, I was the one who took the time to call customers to confirm their appointments. It was so that I could check every single thing my team had done to make sure all the important things were covered and or corrected. I just didn't want to deal with the stress of having the manager or a service advisor breathing down my back because something wasn't done perfectly right. Of course, then my team always felt bad too. You know, they strive to be really good, so they took it personal if something went wrong. Anyway, you could see, and I can see why, you know, you listening to me talk on this podcast, it's like easy to say, Lindsay, that's easier said than done because my situation is different. And that's why I challenged myself. I'm like, could it be that there is a situation that is so complex, it really can't be streamlined into 7 steps? So I gave myself the challenge to rethink my role back then and how I would go about it differently. And here's what I came up with. I've got 5 lessons that I learned by rethinking the way I was doing it that will help you not only to streamline your processes, but to think and approach it a little differently, because it's sometimes it's just a perspective issue, and you'll see what I mean as I get going. Okay, now, lesson number one is basically complicated processes result in micromanagement or middle management. If you're looking to scale, you absolutely must have simple systems. That dealership could never run the department the way I was running it without a person in that role. They couldn't have just phone answering people managed by the service department manager, because he would never have had the time to double check all those things I was doing. Sometimes, though, the solution is asking other teams, other departments within the company to do things differently. So here's an example that some dealerships do. They put the onus of responsibility, that whole thing that came down to managing the customer's expectation, they put that on the service advisor. They would tell their BDC agents, just book the appointment. And when, you know, it doesn't matter if we can take in, you know, 50 appointments today or 100 appointments today, your job is to just book the appointments, and the service advisor has to deal with all of that on the service drive as far as checking for parts, making sure that the customer knows how many days it might be before the car gets looked at. In our case, because we lived in Arizona and in summer, it gets really hot. So in those moments, the AC department could be really backed up. I mean, there'd be times where we would literally be telling somebody, hey, when you drop your car off today, this is not an appointment with the technician. Your job is to get checked in with the service advisor. And then in about 5 to 7 days, the technician will get a chance to look at your car. Can you imagine? That's the responsibility we were taking. But other dealerships would have made that the advisor's responsibility. Now, I'm not here to debate which one is better for customer service. That's not the point of this conversation. It's simply just to show you that systems and processes need to be mapped out from a bird's eye view, from a management level, from a leadership position, and it needs to be as simple as possible across the board and fair, right? I mean, we want to make it fair. Okay, lesson number two. You don't have to solve for all situations in one process. Now we're getting into the minutia a little bit. So back then I built a process and I tried to cover every single scenario from an oil change only appointment to customers calling in with 7 different issues. That was the mistake I was making, because it made it so complex. And then I would tell people here's the rules, and then we have exceptions to these rules, and sometimes we have exceptions to the exceptions. Definitely was not simple. Instead, I would have broken down the appointment into a flowchart as follows, into basically 2 systems, okay? So rather than one system that outlined every single detail and what to do if scenarios, I would have simply said, here's how you answer every call. Step 1, all calls get answered with, thank you for choosing Bill Luke Service Center. My name is Lindsay. How can I help you? Step number 2, verify customer information, including email, phone number, vehicle make and model, year and mileage. Step 3, determine what they need to have for the appointment. Ask the customer, what are you coming in for? Number 4, check for the recall. Number 5, determine who is their service advisor. And number 6, what maintenance are they due for? Okay. And now, in step 6, that determining what maintenance they're due for, could be 2 places. It could check the history, as they're checking history to look at the advisor. We had recommended work. Or we could just look at their mileage and know what they might be due for based on mileage. So that is a whole step 6, determine what maintenance they may be due for. Then I would say, once a complete account of what is going on in the appointment. You see, all those steps, that steps 1 through 6, I've gotten all the bulk of the information I need to then decide what type of appointment I'm booking. So the next process would be, I'd have maintenance only appointments or appointments with multiple complaints, which, to be honest with you, I don't think they're, unless they were just coming in for an oil change and a tire rotation, pretty much everything fell into the multiple complaint. It was like 90%. So I think my team would have been really familiar with this next process. would have been number one, check estimated timeline for major complaints. Okay, so what I mean by that is the AC thing, right? Every day we had a Slack channel where I put in there, okay, AC is now 7 days, transmission is 2 weeks, blah, blah, blah. So based on what the customer was explaining or looking at based on what the BDC agent was looking at with the customer complaints, they would look at that timeline, and that's what that means. So you notice how my steps are not telling them the details of how. That's where the training would come in. The goal is for me to sit down, and I want something that's so simple they could look at it and say, check estimated timeline for major complaints. Step number two, set time expectation with clients. So confirm client still wants to book. I mean, gosh, sometimes we would tell a client, you know, it's going to be 7 to 10 days before the technician even looks at your vehicle. Is that okay? We'd have people who were like, no, I'll just go somewhere else. And that's, you know, that is what it is. That's how the dealership wanted it done. Step number three, verify parts availability. Step number four, schedule drop-off, not an appointment. This is where we would clarify with the customer, you're only dropping off your car. This is not an appointment with the technician. Step number five, if there is a minimum charge, confirm the client knew what to expect. So if it's $120 for a diagnostic fee, we would have to let them know or what to expect for the oil change. And of course, if it was under warranty, we would tell them that there's no charge. So isn't that much simpler? I honestly wish I would have known that back then, because if I could have thought, this is the train of thought that was different. And this, I think, would lead into lesson number three. You don't have to explain all of what to do within the steps. Like, your goal is to keep the steps super simple on your documentation process. Now, when you're training, that's where you're going to say, okay, let me show you how to do this step. And they learn how to check for a recall. I don't write on here, check for a recall. Go to www.chrysler, blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't do that. I just say check for a recall. Because once my staff member has been trained on that process, on what to do, that's the training that goes with the process. But I could have literally taken this process, put it up on their cubicle, had them follow it, and then immediately a lot of my double checking stuff would have been solved because it would have been so much simpler. Does that make sense? So I wanted to say, like, what's not here? I want to bring to your awareness what I'm not putting on the process. I'm not detailing every nuance of what to do because that's part of the training that goes along with it. Now, some might say, but isn't this process designed so that, you know, anybody can step in and do the role? Now, what's really cool about this is the answer is yes, but you wouldn't bring somebody in off the street and have them start doing this without training. Like, that just wouldn't happen. You would have a training period. But let's just say, for some random example, that the BDC was wiped out. We all got sick. We couldn't be there. And we had to have service advisors fill in for us. We could have given the service advisors these steps and they could have followed our same process for booking appointments because they already knew how to check for recalls and check for parts and all the things. But the process would have been getting handled the exact same way. That's the point of what I'm trying to say. So this is what I want you to understand is the mindset behind your documentation. It needs to be focused on the simplicity. Okay, moving on. So on the flip side though, you do want to think from an entry-level perspective, and that kind of goes up piggybacks with what I was saying. You want your processes, the outline of your process, to be super simple. When I was hiring people, I was bringing in entry-level people. I mean, they had been servers or, you know, worked in a call center, but maybe like a customer service call center. They had not worked in a car dealership. Also, many of them were women, and they did not know a lot about cars or anything about cars for that matter. So I would bring them in, and I remember just feeling so overwhelmed, thinking, oh my gosh, I hope they don't quit within the first week. This person has so much potential. But when you're hiring, you know, these people, they don't have 20 years in your industry. You want to build in safeguards that make it less possible for mistakes to happen. So in my process, having them check for the recalls or lip loading the rep with exactly what I wanted them to say. Like, for example, I just want to remind you, this is an appointment with your service advisor, not the technician. Those were the key things that I needed to train them to do, but I wanted my process to be simple enough that they could put their brain around it. Yeah, I get it. I could see. Now just show me all the nuances. Lesson number 4, leverage technology when it makes sense. So notice that I didn't need to add to my process to check the advisor schedule. The rep did not need to memorize that advisor A wants appointments on every 20-minute interval and advisor B wants them at every 15-minute intervals with a 90-minute lunch break. Instead, the computer was programmed with their availability and my rep only needed to know whose schedule to look at. So they also knew they weren't allowed to make exceptions to booking with that advisor without talking to management or the advisor first. It was a very, like, number one rule of booking appointments. They go back to the same advisor, because what would happen is we would have a customer come in who'd been working, let's say, with Damien for, you know, 10 years, and they got booked with Mike, and they come in and they're looking at Mike, but Damien's walking by. It created an awkward experience for the customer, but also for the advisor. So the rule was always they had to go back with the same advisor. And if the advisor wasn't available, it was our job to simply get the advisor involved and let them help get that customer in. So lesson number 4 then is to check and see where you can leverage technology to simplify your process so that you don't have to put all that thinking stuff into the process for your human, let's say, for your team member. All right, lesson number 5. Guys, this is for you. Be willing to try. I could have just thought to myself, no way would that have been possible. I don't even know why I published that episode yesterday. That was total BS. I shouldn't have said that because it's not even possible. No way could I have taken what happened at the service department and put it into 7 simple steps. Actually, each step ended up being less than 7 by the time I was done. And the only reason that even came to be is because I was willing to try. I challenged myself. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. What if you were, like, forced to make a simpler solution? It's not an option. The bottom line was, at the end of the day, it wasn't that the information was different. My team would have executed the booking of an appointment in the end, now with the information and the process I developed versus then. It was the same. The only thing that was different was how I organized the information, how I ordered it from the trigger to the end of that process, which was gathering information, to then now we're going to decide what type of appointment we're booking. Then we're going to book it following those steps. Does that make sense? It wouldn't put me in a position where I could take that brand new person I was training, and rather than praying they didn't quit in the first week, they would have been in, like, a much less stressful position. It would have made them feel a lot more capable and empowered. So even if you're willing to try and simplify, because you know you really need to, it can still be a challenge. Sometimes our brains are just wired the way they're wired. And you've been doing something for so long that it's really hard to think differently. Also, when you're in the trenches, it can feel like impossible to think of it differently. I remember when I first met Emily, I had just recently launched my marketing agency and I was exhausted. I was overwhelmed. I was literally at the point of tears because I was so stressed out. And she and I met in a Facebook group and we were doing a trade. I was going to help her with marketing and she was going to help me organize. And I just remember I couldn't have thought any different than what I was doing, because in that moment I just didn't have the energy to think differently. Emily was able to hear what I had to say and help me think from an outside perspective, a way I couldn't do for myself. And if you're in that place, if you're just feeling the pressure of, like, you know you need a change, but you just don't know really where to start, or you just don't feel like you have the time to think clearly, reach out, book a call with us. Literally, it could be a game changer for you, for your health, for your peace of mind. instead of just micromanaging and babysitting your whole business and your team, let's get on a call. Let's start mapping out your processes. There is no business that's too small or too big. I was a one-man band in my marketing agency with 1099 people on my team. I didn't have W-2 employees. I wasn't a giant business, but I was certainly an overwhelmed business owner, and I didn't know how to get to my next level without somebody else coming in and helping me to organize what was in front of me. And I'm sharing this with you in full transparency because I know the feeling you're having. It can happen to anybody. If you'd have come to me then, even when I was feeling overwhelmed and spent in my own business, I'd have been able to help you in your business. I just could not help myself. And I know you know what I'm talking about. You do the same thing. It's like why the contractor, you know, has the home that's not fully put together. Sometimes at the end of the day, we're so burnt out, we just can't do for ourselves what we know we can do for other people. And I want to help you. I want you to feel the transformation that I felt. So look for the link in the description for our calendar. And let's just chat. Let's just get on a call. All right, my friends, thanks for tuning in today. If this was helpful in any way, please be sure to share it with a fellow entrepreneur, because you know, entrepreneurship is a lonely road. And sometimes we just need to lean on each other and give each other a little boost. And so if you can think of somebody who needs a boost, share this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time. Bye for now.